Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion where we discuss how we should understand prayer and God's answers to our prayers. But first, let's pray. Gracious God, source of all light, by your word you give light to the soul. We pray that you would pour out on us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that our hearts and minds may be opened. In Jesus' name, Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1 to 13, and I'm reading from the NIV. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, or more accurately, persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Just to there, and may God bless his word to us this day and always. Before we begin, let's go to the end of our reading and deal with the way Jesus ends a fairly comprehensive answer to the question of one of his disciples, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus concludes by saying, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This final statement seems to go in a different direction from his discussion about how prayer should be understood, as well as how we ought to understand God's answers to prayer. Also, it has been used as part of the argument from within Pentecostalism that the gift of the Holy Spirit is an entirely separate thing from coming to faith in Jesus, which is not correct. So some feel that there is a sense in which Jesus was speaking in broad terms of the spiritual blessings which the Father gives his children, and that he was not saying that people who ask, say for specific gifts, will necessarily receive them. Another commentator states that, in the times of Jesus, most people believed that the Holy Spirit had departed, and also was only available to several of the holiest people, or that the Holy Spirit belonged to the community in a very broad sense. And so Jesus' words here would have been profound, possibly perplexing, because given common beliefs about the Spirit in ancient Judaism, the Spirit of God was essentially given to those called by God to be prophets in the Old Testament context. However, the simplest view on the matter, and something we can easily embrace, states that Jesus points to what we should pray for in our walk in this world. We must ask for the Holy Spirit not only as necessary so that we can pray well, but as needful for our faith and witness in this world. Being filled with the Spirit already places us in a different space in terms of our attitude, our faith, and how we live. And I'm reminded of Paul's encouragement to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 18, where he said, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, or, as the translation is better understood, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. That said, let's begin then to look at Jesus' answer to the disciples' request. Christian prayer has its roots in the example and command of Jesus himself, in the form of the Lord's Prayer, and we all know this. And the first four verses of the Lord's Prayer from the Matthew version, which we are more familiar with, appears here in a different and a shorter form. So it is generally thought that the early church adapted Jesus' words in different ways to meet its needs, without compromising the substance of what was being said. Like Matthew, Luke's form begins with God, containing an address and two sets of petitions. The address has to do with how Jesus approached God. As with Matthew, the word for Father is the Aramaic Abba, used by Jesus. By doing so, Jesus invited his followers to use the same intimate term to address God, which he himself used. Looking at the petitions, which in prayer language has to do with our personal requests, as opposed to intercessions, which involves us speaking to God mostly on behalf of someone else, with or without their knowledge or consent, the first petition is, "Hallowed be your name." So it's not just a statement about God or an acknowledgement on our part of who God is, but it is a request, and it is concerned with God himself. The word hallowed means to be rendered sacred, or to be honored, or to be set apart from everything else. So may God's name, that is his person, who he is, as creator and sustainer of everything, as the one who is just and good, as savior of humankind and his creation, may you, Father, be recognized, known and honored throughout the world, a world that mostly does not honor you. To a large extent, this is what God does, but there is the real aspect of what we ought to do, and that is to honor God in this world by living in a way that declares his lordship in our lives, that declares through us his justice, peace, and righteousness in the world. In the Old Testament, it was well known that living wrongly, as opposed to rightly, profaned the name of God, bringing it into disrepute among the nations, which is the opposite of hallowing his name. What follows then is the second petition, and the prayer that God's name be honored forms the basis for it, "Your kingdom come," meaning may God's rule in peace and righteousness swiftly come into effect. In this way, it is also a request that God acts to hasten the coming of the day of the Lord. So it is only after these petitions, which have God and his work as the focus, that the needs of the petitioner, which would be each of us, are expressed. First, there is a prayer for the supply of daily bread. This may be a petition not just for ordinary food, but also for the bread of life, the gift of God's word, without which we cannot live. Remember, Jesus said, "Man cannot live by bread alone," as he spoke to the devil in the desert. A second personal need being expressed is a prayer for daily forgiveness, which is granted only to those who forgive others. And in a sense, we're inviting God to hold us accountable in this matter. Finally, there is the request, "Lead us not into temptation." First, the word temptation is better translated tribulation or testing. So one view on this finds that parallels with ancient Jewish prayers suggest that "lead us not into testing or temptation" means let us not sin when we are tested, rather than let us not be tested. Another view holds that it is a prayer asking God to preserve his people from tribulation and testing, which would weaken and strain their faith. Either way, God's deliverance is asked for. At this point, Jesus changes gear, so to speak, and continues his discussion of prayer with a number of short parables designed to encourage his disciples to pray. The first parable is more elaborate, and it is from verse 5 to 10. and it's about a man who has bread in his house and is being inconvenienced by his friend who says he has a guest who stopped by while on a journey. Although the man who has bread in his small house is unwilling to get out of bed, he does so because of the persistence of the friend, who is obviously not embarrassed to bother this household, and so the man accedes and supplies the bread. The lesson of this parable is found in the contrast, where Jesus said, "If a human friend will respond to persistence, how much more will God respond without persistence, even if he seems to delay in supplying his answer?" And you can compare that with Luke chapter 18, verse 1-8, about the persistent widow. Jesus then concluded that lesson with verse 9 and 10, saying, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened." There seems to be a boldness that is required, and it all sounds wonderfully easy, and that's where our problem may lie. People always seem to become a bit jaded when what Jesus said doesn't match their reality. But is Jesus really giving false hopes and goals? I don't think so. It seems that, about the words of Jesus, Luke would have probably said to us today, "You should know it's pretty obvious that God is not simply going to be our genie who makes things happen in accordance with our whims." I think that most of us realize this, and that things like God's will, God's timing, are all fundamental to these verses. Having said that, we come to the short parable in verses 11 to 13. It's a very simple comparison between good human fathers who respond to the requests of their children and God. It's a common sense thing that generally a human father wants to care for the well-being of his children. He does not want to deceive his child with harmful things. So when a child asks its evil parent for a fish or an egg, there is no way that they will get instead a snake or a scorpion, respectively. And when Jesus called them evil, he meant that they are humans with a tendency to sin. And on that odd comparison, some commentators mention that fish and snakes and eggs and scorpions resemble one another in appearance. Another says some fish may look like snakes, and the body of a large white scorpion could be mistaken for an egg. The bottom line is, God is not in the business of playing with our emotions or our needs or being deceptive. If we have need of something and we ask, God will answer and give us what is needed, not something harmful to us. Perhaps that's the catch. We're looking at a large white scorpion, believing it to be an egg. And then God gives us an actual egg, leaving us feeling like he doesn't care or know our need, which of course is not true. With all that we've looked at today, hopefully we are not left confused. Here then are two thoughts I want to leave with us. Firstly, if we pray according to our best understanding of the will of God and we don't seem to get an answer, bearing in mind no answer, in our opinion, since nothing seems to come to pass, may actually be an answer. It is likely that either we need to adjust what we've believed up to now, or we need to review and possibly adjust the reason or motive for our request, or allow for the possibility that what we thought the will of God was is in fact incorrect. This is also tied to what we believe. Secondly, God invites us to always pray prayers of intercession, where we implore him to act on behalf of others, possibly communities or even our country, in terms of the understood need. And also to pray prayers of petition, where we ask God to act on our behalf to meet our particular need. Both of these kinds of prayer, by the way, fall into what is the broader category of supplication, which is another word for appeal. As we do, we will realize more than ever that God is faithful in every way, and that our prayers will be sharpened by our growing understanding of this. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may we seek you and find you. May we knock and the door be opened. For we are sojourners, looking for your kingdom. Help us therefore to grow in our understanding of your scriptures and therefore your will, and so to live that others may come to know you, in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.